Amen. Thank you, Tom. In the face of life's struggles, we are called to practice love. In times of doubt and sadness, we look for a way to joy. In the busyness of our lives, we seek a place of peace. In the conflict and turmoil of the world, we gather together to create hope. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us in person or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life in this congregation and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning, everybody in the nursery. We have the playground down here, and we have godly play and connect after the word for all ages. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we are celebrating the sacrament of communion together. Folks at home, I invite you to get a bit of food and drink so you'll be able to join in. In person, we'll have gluten-free bread along with grape juice and wine. You'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat when we get to that part of the service. And this ritual of remembrance is open to all, so you're invited to participate in whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. So the sanctuary looks a little different today. We are beginning the season of Advent today. Huge thanks to those who were in here decorating yesterday. Worship also shifts a little bit for the Advent season. We'll still light candles, but they're in the Advent wreath. There's a congregational response for singing while we do the lighting. There's also a new song of celebration that we'll sing at the passing of the peace. So lots of newness today, and we will get each other through it. After worship today, we are going to light our outdoor Advent wreath. So for those of you in person, this is going to include folks in Sunday school. If you're interested, we're going to head right outside, right out front, to light our outdoor Advent wreath. This is totally optional. You can also head off to coffee hour if you want to. But hopefully you'll join me and Sarah Lynn outside just for a few minutes to light that outdoor Advent wreath. Judy, you should be coming forward now to be down here with me. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff coming up for Advent. See, I could have given her way more time and she would have been fine. So next Saturday from 3 to 4:30 is the Living Creche and Caroling. Again, and right out front. Gail, how are we doing with signups for the creche? Oh, Gail, for those of you at home, Gail just crossed her arms and mama'd to the congregation. We could be doing a whole lot better. So if you would like to sign up to be in the Living Creche next week, see Gail after worship today, and we all will do a whole lot better. And then what's happening on Sunday, Judy?
It's the most wonderful time. Next week is our exciting Christmas pageant, Bed, Bethlehem, and Beyond. It is also our Bring a Friend to Breakfast. Think of it as our little sneaky way to pack the house for this performance. So, have you invited someone yet?
Yeah. Cool. Robin,
well,
who did Robin invite? Robin invited four people?
Can we've got four. Do we have five? Anyone with five, raise your paddle. Maybe you have a kiddo in the pageant and you have friends, family, and neighbors who just don't realize how gifted your little thespian is. You ought to get them in here to bear witness. Maybe like Lorraine, is Lorraine here? Yeah. Maybe like Lorraine, you have a bunch of neighbors who enjoy a little bit of quiche and some hot cocoa. So we would love to have them. Maybe you're sitting in the pew and you can think of someone who used to sit among us and hasn't been here for a while. Wouldn't it be great to have them all here with us? So pick up the phone, get your fingers typing and texting, or use one of our pre-printed invitations, which I'll have for you at the end of the service. This is your moment to extend the hand of welcome with marshmallows and whipped cream and caramel syrup and candy canes and chocolate chips and all of that. So I'll get you started. When you come in from the Advent lighting, see me to get some invitations and some candy canes to get your sugar high going. See you next week.
Thank you, Judy, and the whole welcome team. This Wednesday, we have our December pub theology. This one is going to be at the restaurant over there, so we need you to sign up. So you can sign up online or see me or Sarah Lynn. So as we've said, today is the first day of Advent. In the Christian tradition, this is the start of a new year. A moment of beginning. At a moment of beginning, it can be helpful to set an intention. What do you hope to bring to life in this time? Maybe the intention is to truly know that you are a blessing, just as you are. I invite you to set an intention just for the hour ahead. And as you listen to the sound of the bowl fade away, I invite you to breathe deeply, opening your heart to God's hope.
Good morning. I'm Janice. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, may there be room for hope in our hearts. In a crowded world, is there a place for hope? May there be room for hope in our hearts. Hope seeks a place where it can flourish and grow. May there be room for hope in our hearts. We can be the place where hope can dwell. May there be room for hope in our hearts. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 116, People, Look East. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the time of remembering that God comes to us in amazing ways, including through the birth of a tiny, helpless child. With this Advent wreath, we prepare for God to come once again. The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken love of God. The green branches speak of new life found in relationship with God. And the candles proclaim the light that God brings into our lives. This morning, we light the first candle in our Advent wreath. This is the candle of hope. Since the beginning of time, God had a hope about people dwelling together in love. Long, long ago, people hoped for someone who would understand them, teach them, and help them change the world. Today we face a world that sometimes seems hopeless. In the face of a diagnosis or a broken relationship, in the midst of news about war or oppression. But God calls us to light a candle of hope, a reminder that God's hope is stronger than the world's fear. And so we hope for a world filled with joy, lives filled with love, and hearts working toward peace. Emmanuel, God with us, fill us with the light of your hope so that we might brighten the world. As we light the Advent wreath, let us join together in the verse of "When God is a Child" in your bulletin and on the screen.
In God's house, everyone is welcome. Those who seem like they have it all together, and those who feel like their world is falling apart. No matter what we are dealing with, there's room for us here. No matter how messy our lives are, we are embraced here. No matter how broken we feel, there is healing for us here. So in person and at home, let us offer each other peace this day, a peace that can fill us with hope. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, a new selection for this new season. God's peace be with you.
Thank you.
Our reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. This is Luke's version of Jesus' birth story. Luke gives Jesus a mysterious and mystical conception involving an engaged woman and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get into all the details of the story today. Just remember, we are not reading Mary's medical record. Remember that scripture reflects how people were trying to understand Jesus and the deep way in which he was connected to God. Hear Luke's version. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So, I wonder what woke you up this morning. I'm looking for a show of hands over there from the playground, as well as y'all. Did someone come in to gently wake you up this morning? Good morning, beautiful child. Anybody? Okay. Oh, Taylor had that. That's nice. Was it an alarm clock blaring? Did anybody have an alarm clock with me this morning? Yeah, several alarm clocks. Was it the sun coming up that woke? That must be so nice. How about a cat wanting to be fed? Did that wake? Yeah, I had a whole bunch of people that was a thing for. Okay. You don't have any pets? All right, well, that's why you have parents to wake you up. I wonder what the first words you said this morning were. How many people, the first words they said this morning were, "Good morning"? How many, ugh? How many, 15 more minutes? Was that, yeah, anybody? Mm-hmm, I see that. I wonder what the first words you heard this morning were. If you live alone, maybe the first words you heard this morning were at church. If you live with someone else, maybe you heard, "Rise and shine." Anybody here, "Rise and shine"? Nobody heard "Rise and shine." How about, "We're going to be late"? Did anybody hear, we're going to be late? How about, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you"? Did anybody hear that? Janice got that this morning. That's nice. This Advent, our theme is words for the beginning. Because we are at the beginning of the worship year, because we're thinking about the beginning of Jesus' story, but also our lives are full of beginnings and endings. So thinking about the words that help us at the beginning is what we're going to work on this Advent. Like the beginning of each new day is the beginning, right? Maybe the words that begin each day help
shape everything after. The story Ms. Janice read from the Bible this morning is the beginning of the story of Mary, who's Jesus' mom. It begins with Mary meeting an angel for the first time, and the angel begins with the words, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, those are kind of fancy words. The angel is telling Mary that God loves her just as she is, and God will be with her no matter what. Now, that's just the beginning of Mary's story. There is a lot more to come, and some of it is hard. But it begins with being told that God loves her just as she is, no matter what, and God will be with her. Now, I think those are good words for the beginning, especially the beginning of every day. Imagine if those are the first words you hear every day, just like Miss Janice, whether someone says them to you or you say them to yourself. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Imagine if someone wakes you up in the morning and they could wake you up with those words. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Or if you wake up to an alarm, you could say those words to yourself. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. If your dog wakes you up wanting to go for a walk, you could say to them, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. So I invite you to do this as an experiment throughout Advent, the 4 weeks between now and Christmas. Just 4 weeks. Start each day by saying to yourself or somebody else, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And just see what happens to your day when you have those words at the beginning. So as our kids get ready to head off to Sunday school, let's send them with those very words all together now. Let's get our praying hands going. And we say to them, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Amen. Have a great day in Sunday school. They don't want to go. Our second reading this morning is by Reverend Sarah A. Speed. It's called, You Are a Blessing. You are a blessing. If you hear nothing else, if the wind howls, if your brain runs amok, if rebuttals and denials line up like little toy soldiers, then hear this. You are a blessing. I knew it the first moment I met you, heard your name, learned there are 7 billion of us on this planet. I knew it in my bones, the way my feet feel the way home. You are a blessing. For our creating God breathed life into your being, and there is simply no way that along with that life, some of God's goodness didn't slip right in. So tell the rebuttals to rest. Tell the toy soldiers to find another hill, because this one is reserved for joy and celebration. You are a blessing. Breathe it in. Amen. The angel leaned in close to the poor pregnant teenager living in occupied territory and whispered, you are a blessing. I know what you're thinking, having been part of Bible studies before. You're like, sure, not surprising that God would call Jesus, Mary's mother, Mary, a blessing. But this was last week in Gaza. The angel leaned in close to the addict who'd flunked out of the recovery program again and whispered, "You are a blessing." The angel leaned in close to the gay man who was wondering if it was safe to be out at work and whispered, "You are a blessing." The angel leaned in close to the woman getting detained for crossing the border again because detention was safer than returning home and whispered, "You are a blessing." The angel leaned in close to the guy in line at the payday loan, his fear for his family's future turning into anger, and whispered, "You are a blessing." In Christian tradition, Mary, by some miracle, became pregnant with God's child. So, of course, she was beloved just as she was. She carried the divine spark within her. But focused on Mary's story, it can be easy to forget that each of us carries the divine spark within us too. We are, every one of us, glimpses of the image of God. And so we are beloved just as we are. There isn't anything we have to do or accomplish or change in order to be loved by God just as we are. Of course, that love can change us. It often does. Knowing she was loved by God gave Mary the strength to face everything that was to come, from conflict with Joseph to fleeing to Egypt for safety to staying present when her son was dying. But Mary didn't do those things so that she would be loved by God. She was already loved, just as she was. That love can get so drowned out by the noise of the world, the economic system that tells you you'll be loved if you just buy more stuff, the political system that tells you you'll be loved if you're powerful enough, the religious system that tells you you'll be loved if you do good deeds. Meanwhile, the angel is whispering furiously in your ear, "You are a blessing. Loved just as you are." I wish there was a way to erase the messages you've heard from the world over the years. Just reboot your whole system and make sure all you heard for at least like the first 50 years or so was, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But I'll settle for the next best thing. This community, this time together, every week. Every Sunday morning, or whenever you watch this online, we come together carrying all the baggage from the week just past, all those messages that tell us we weren't enough and never will be. And we soak up God's message instead, that we are a blessing, God's beloved, just as we are. The message doesn't stay with us forever. It lasts just like 7 days or so, and we come back to soak it up again. But the more we hear the message, the stronger it gets, the longer it sticks, and the more we start to maybe truly believe it. Which means, I think, that it would be good if we weren't just hearing this message for an hour on Sunday mornings. Amen? Amen. We need those angels whispering in everyone's ears like they whispered in Mary's, "You are a blessing." Thankfully, I know where we can find some. Beloved, we are the angels who need to tell everyone they are loved just as they are. We need to be the ones whispering in each other's ears, "You are beloved just as you are." Except we need to not be creepy about it. So we're not going to actually say "you are beloved" to the woman asking for change on the corner, but we can buy her coffee and a sandwich. We're not going to whisper anything in the ear of the guy who cuts in front of us in line at the mall, but we will breathe and smile and say, "Have a good day." We won't say, "Greetings, favored one," to the coworker who missed the deadline, but we won't send passive-aggressive emails either. We come here and hear that we are beloved, just as we are, and then go out and share the same good news with the world. This is not about superficial sweetness. This is about remembering the divine spark that dwells within us all. This is not about being nice. This is about undermining the powers that be that want us to feel inadequate and divided. This is not a Hallmark message. It is a rebellion against oppression and injustice that gets stronger when we feel broken and alone. So hear the angel's words in your ears, and then spread them far and wide. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. Amen. The tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so, folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to get yourself some food and drink. Remember that when we celebrate communion, we are remembering the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his friends. Here in the vestry, we're having gluten-free bread and wine or grape juice. At home, folks might be having coffee and a muffin or water and a little bit of leftover pizza. For that supper that Jesus shared with his friends, he didn't order anything special. He used what was right at hand, right there on the table, to invite his friends to remember him always. And as we gather at this table today, one of the things we do on the first Sunday of the month is we invite contributions to the Communion Fund, which helps folks in our community who are in need. There are, for those in person, there are envelopes in your pews if you would like to participate in that. As always, every special contribution here is completely optional. But we begin with prayer, because as a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Nothing? Yes, Declan. Truck. Yes. So if you sign up to participate in the Living Creche, you get a front row seat to watching Santa arrive in a fire truck. And so Declan is celebrating that Christmas is coming. He's not completely sure when, but he does know it's after December 7th, so don't worry. Is that the extent of the joys you have that can't be? Beth, do you have any joys? For those of you who don't know Declan, he has just gone through two surgeries to have a bump removed on his neck. The surgeries have gone very well. He is here in our midst this morning. looking awesome, keeping the joy alive. Declan, it is a joy to see you, and Declan wants to thank everybody for all the cards and support that they sent. So Declan is wearing a cervical collar, and he's going to have that until January. And we're looking forward to that coming off. But meanwhile, you're styling it quite well. So well done, Declan. Other joys that we have today. Miles, would you mind coming up? Just for a minute. So Sarah Beth and Peter's son Miles is heading to the Air Force this week. And can I just give you a hug? Is that okay? Yeah. And we are sending him with all of our love and support, and we are supporting his parents as well. We know that you have some hard work ahead of you, but we also know that you are ready for it, and all of our prayers and love go with you. So do you mind if we just give you a little blessing?
I love that.
All right, everybody get your blessing hands ready. We're going to bless Miles. God of all time and place, we're going to let Miles go to Texas, but only if he takes our love with him. Only if he takes you surrounding him. Be with Miles. Be with his family. May everyone that he meets see the way in which your light shines through him. Help him to have patience and stamina and strength to know that you are at work in his life, God. And then bring his parents to see him, because that's going to make them happy. And then bring him back home to see us so we can fill him up with some more love to send him on to the next leg of the journey. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Miles. Thanks, Miles.
Thank you.
We're going to take good care of Sarah, Beth, and Peter. Other joys that you bring to this place today? Lane, do you have any joys? What concerns do you bring to this place today? Carolyn? Thanks to Carolyn for lifting up that today is World AIDS Day, a day that has been marked since 1988. She lifts up that 35 million people have been impacted by this, and of course the numbers are much bigger because they are everyone who has loved someone who has lived with AIDS or died from AIDS. She's also lifting up that this disease disproportionately affects Black and Brown people around the world. We also know that there are medications that can help prevent this and treat it, and getting access to those drugs is also often an obstacle due to race and economic factors. So we have a lot of work to do. It is amazing to see the way a disease has changed just in my own lifetime and the prognosis of it, but we have a lot of work to do. So thank you for lifting that up, Carolyn. Janice. Janice is lifting up her oldest son, Warren, and her grandkids. Sometimes life has challenges and struggles, and it's particularly hard to be a mama and a grandmom, knowing our kids and our grandchildren struggle. So we offer our prayers for Warren and his kids, but also for Janice as she seeks to be that loving grandma that she so beautifully is. Pam. Yeah. We've lifted up Pam's friend Helga, who has been ill for the last 3 months and slowly letting go of this life. Pam was able to send a prayer shawl to her. They're in Germany, right?
Yeah.
They're in Germany.
It's the mom. Helga is the
Yes. Yes, but I'm counting Helga as your friend too for the sake of this prayer. Thank you. So, so Helga has gone from this life to the next, and so we celebrate her life and we stand with those who mourn her, including Pam. Thank you. Lane, do you have any concerns?
Yes. Prayers for Sarah Lynn's cousin, Chris. She received a difficult diagnosis on Friday. Surgery is scheduled for December 19th.
Whose cousin?
Sarah Lynn.
Sarah Lynn's cousin? Ugh. We hold in our prayers Sarah Lynn's cousin, Chris, who's received a difficult diagnosis. We also hold in our prayers for those who have been to West Virginia Work Camp, Kenny and Ann. This is a team that's, I think, been there for forever. Kenny is dealing with a cancer diagnosis, possibly two types of cancer at stage 4, and chemo starts next week, so we hold them in our prayers. Yeah, Maya. What is your friend's name? Say it again. Rihanna. And are you able to share the grandfather's name? We can say Rihanna's grandfather. We hold in our prayers Maya's friend Rihanna and Rihanna's grandfather, who's recently received a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. Prayers for the family and everyone who'll be involved in treatment. Thanks, Maya. Let us come together to the table, knowing here is where we find strength for the journey. This morning we gather around a table at which we encounter the living Christ, the presence of God that Jesus promised would show up wherever two or more of us are gathered. In the Christmas carol that we'll sing a little later, O Little Town of Bethlehem, we sing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, be born in us today. At the communion table we ask for the same thing. We eat the bread of life, we drink the cup of joy, and pray that this spiritual food will change us from the inside out, so that we will not just talk about, but be the Jesus who brings hope, the Christ who practices compassion, the divine spirit that is God's love in the world. And so we come to this table to affirm the love that God has for us and that God calls us to be in the world, a love that is born in our midst, not just on Christmas Day, but every day. We remember that Mary and Joseph were afraid, but that did not stop the birth. They were far from home in a strange place, but that did not stop the birth. They were poor with no place for the child, but that did not stop the birth. Today we know fear. We are all too often lost and certainly poor in many ways, but those things didn't stop the birth of Jesus then, nor will they do so now. God breaks into the world, especially in places of loneliness and fear. And so on this Advent morning, God is here. The Christ child arrives. Love is born in us at this table today. And so the baby grew into the man, and he taught anyone who would listen, and he healed anyone who sought wholeness. He prayed for peace and raged at injustice. He gathered together enemies and outcasts around one table, creating a meal of love for all. And it was at one of those meals that he took the bread left over on the table, blessed it, and broke it, reminding them that it is in the breaking that we become whole, in losing our lives that we find them, in serving that we are served. Then he took the cup also left over on the table, poured out for sharing, remembering with his friends the life-giving breath, even now coursing a rhythm through our veins, the breath of life from whence all things come, the breath that precedes and follows all that we can see. Right here, right now, Jesus meets us again in the bread, in the cup, and in the community gathered across space and time. Will you join me with your blessing hands in blessing the cup and bread on this table and all our tables? Living God, we come to this table today longing for a new beginning. In a world that so often feels like it's ending, we crave the hope of a new day. We long to heal from the endings and crash landings of our hurting world and start again
rooted in your good news. So week by week, bit by bit, we return to your spirit. Week by week, bit by bit, we return to each other. Week by week, and bit by bit, we remind each other of your love and that it is never too late to start again. So in this spirit of beginnings, we come to your table. Once more, we ask that you would meet us here. Pour out your spirit on this ordinary meal, that in this bread and cup we might glimpse a new day. May the sight of everyone being welcomed to this table remind us that we are loved by you. May the evidence that there is food for all remind us that no one is meant to go hungry. May the fact that our own baggage does not keep us from this table remind us that you welcome and love us just as we are. And may all these truths serve as building blocks for a new day, for a new beginning. With hope in our hearts, we begin again and trust that you will meet us here. May this feast be the start of something new as we remember the one who taught us to hope, praying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become the hands and feet of God. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Come, for all things are ready.
Thank you.
sandwiches at first? Why did I suddenly forget the bread of life? Oh my goodness. The cup of joy. Will you join me in prayer? Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. A French proverb says, "Hope is the dream of a soul awake." Let's make sure our souls are awake this morning, alert to the signs of hope in our midst. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, passing the plates one to another, or at home gazing into our cupped hands, may we see the most beautiful sign of hope, our own faces. May our souls be awake to the possibilities for peace and justice for all people, and may we know ourselves as God's hope for the world. Amen.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially those who need these signs of hope in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is O Little Town of Bethlehem. Be seated. Beloved, there will be hope only if we hold hope. There will be peace only if we make peace. There will be joy only if we practice joy. There will be love only if we are love. So let the peace and the joy and the love and the hope go forth. Amen.